This particular study follows several years of work that our laboratory has been doing in cooperation with ARS in Temple, Texas, to try to develop methods to predict nitrogen mineralization based on the soil carbon behavior. And this year we had the opportunity to do a study on a farm during the summer, which is still in process really, but we got enough data to have some interesting findings. The background for this work is that all farmers in general, but especially organic farmers, rely on mineralization of nitrogen from soil and compost, but they lack means to estimate the availability of it. So this plays into not being certain about application rates of organic fertilizers. Previously, using organic matter or total organic carbon to predict nitrogen mineralization is not accurate and is not proven reliable. And other methods that exist are cumbersome and time-consuming, and have none, as far as we can see, have been widely adopted. So this whole important area of trying to estimate how the organic matter is delivering nitrogen is still lacking significant development. We have previously reported in two papers that 24-hour soil burst CO2 respiration combined with information about the water-soluble organic carbon pool has correlated very highly with 28-day nitrogen and phosphorus mineralization trials, as well as some preliminary field trials that we've been conducting to correlate these two. The methods that we used in this study this past summer, we took 20 paired fields in which we had prior to and post compost sampling on an organic farm in southern Maine. The treatment on the fields, and this was the standard practice of this grower, who grows arugula, spinach, and lettuce for the organic greens market, was composted horse manure applied approximately 15 cubic yards an acre. It had a dry matter content of 26%. The analysis methods used in demonstrating this approach was the soil drying and rewetting process that we've previously reported, measuring 24-hour CO2 with a CO2 probe that our laboratory has developed, measuring water-soluble organic carbon and nitrogen on an analyzer, in this case an Apollo 9, and also accounting for soluble nitrogen in the system before and after. Now, I just want to mention previous findings that we have reported. We have seen very good correlations of 28-day NNP mineralization. That's a lab test correlated with one-day CO2 burst from the drying and rewetting protocol, and that's what you see here. So what we're measuring on this axis is the CO2 burst. Here's the scale in milligrams of CO2. This is the scale that is obtained from the readings on the digital reader for the CO2 burst. And this was the milligrams of per kilogram of phosphorus and nitrogen mineralized over 28 days. We've been repeating these trials. We decided to do a compost trial because we took samples in Texas of fields that had duplicate applications from up to 80 tons per acre of aged horse manure, and we did the CO2 burst test, and we got linear relationships with two different measurement methods, base trap CO2 and the test kit, which I'll show you in a minute, which made us think we could really now develop this as a method for helping predict nitrogen mineralization where you're using compost as a principal nitrogen source. This is the area of the study. Composted horse manure is delivered and set by each field where it goes out into these kind of raised bed cropping system that's used for planting. This is the process that we went through in preparing. The compost here is going into a night spreader which side delivers onto the raised beds, and it's incorporated to about 20 centimeters by rototiller equipment that's also relaying the beds as we go, and then they're planted immediately or within a week, and we would go back in sampling just before the compost was applied and then sampling just at the time of planting before the seeds are germinated. The CO2 burst procedure that we've been working on goes back about 10 years. It was introduced after work I did with John Duran, where we were able to correlate gas chromatograph headspace tests in soil profiles with this technique, which basically this is a gel system that I designed that absorbs CO2 and changes color in this scale here. And that's the color scale that you normally read, and this is the equivalent milligram carbon per kilogram soil from it. We've also reported good correlations with infrared gas analysis and alkali base trap method, meaning that this very simple pre-calibrated technique could bring the cost way down and enable you to do it relatively easily without having all the additional lab equipment. The protocol for drying and re-redding and running the CO2 burst is soil is placed in a cup that's perforated in the bottom with a filter in it. It's been pre-dried. It's placed in the incubation jar, and 25 cc's of water are added into the base. You can see it's already soaking up into the soil here, and it works very nicely to wet the soil to capacity. And then the CO2 absorbent gel is placed in the jar. It's sealed, and 24 hours later, the paddle is removed, stuck in this handheld photometer, and the readout gives you both the color number and the CO2 carbon content. So this is a result this year of these paired fields before and after. The blue columns are prior to compost application, and the red columns or purple columns is the CO2 burst measured within 2 weeks following that, corresponding to the different fields. This is the average or mean effect across all the fields. We show a very statistically significant increase in CO2 respiration before and after. It's on the order of 14 milligrams per kilogram of soil, which is very interesting. It's less than you might imagine considering the amount of organic matter that goes down, but it's leading to conservative, but we believe very reliable estimates of the potential nitrogen mineralization. So in one set of correlations, this is the relationship of water-soluble organic nitrogen increase after application of compost in relationship to the 24-hour CO2 burst test. And we're getting very high correlations. This year, we had a couple outliers way up here on the scale. And so we had kept track of everything that went down. And I went back to the growers, and they said, oh, we applied pelletized hen manure in those two plots. And sure enough, we were able to peg it both with a very high respiration response and a very high contribution to dissolved water-soluble organic nitrogen. We did a inorganic nitrogen increase test. This axis here is a little messed up, the same problem with going from a Mac to a Windows. But the x-axis here is the difference in inorganic nitrogen before and after. So we've subtracted out the background, and this is the increase in inorganic nitrogen 2 weeks following the applications on four replicated plots in conjunction with the CO2 burst procedure. And we're getting very, very good correlations there. So we think we're seeing evidence that this whole thing is a microbially driven process of delivering nitrogen from the readily available substrate in the soil. Overall, in looking at this new test procedure, some of the factors that definitely need to be accounted for that affect how you interpret it would be, what is your depth of sampling? We were doing 4 to 6 inches, closer to 4 than 6. The reason that's important is if you're considering converting part per million to pound per acre, you would have to decide that based on the depth of sampling. You have to account for the water-soluble inorganic nitrogen present both in the compost and in the soil before you do this. And we think the thing that's really controlling it is the carbon-nitrogen ratio of the water-soluble fraction. Both Rick and I have done considerable amount of work on this and find that if the water-soluble organic pool has a CN ratio greater than 20, you should expect no nitrogen mineralization. And we're confirming this now in field plot studies where we're not seeing any, well, we're seeing strong response to added nitrogen on soils that CO2 burst alone predicts there should be some response based on the CO2 alone. So you've got to take into account what's going on in that organic fraction. So the procedure that we call after ourselves the Haney-Britton procedure is the 24-hour CO2 burst multiplied by the water-soluble CN ratio. That's what we define as the nitrogen mineralization potential. And of course, to determine the expected nitrogen for the season or what would be available, we generally add in the soluble fraction that we find in the soil at the time of planting and the water-soluble in organic nitrogen. So the total together would give you the expected nitrogen figures. So one of the things that we feel is that by including carbon dioxide rate in the nitrogen mineralization predictions, we think we are accounting for the essential role of microbes in managing this whole process, which I believe is one of the things that's really been overlooked previously. The 24-hour CO2 test result, using this test kit and also other procedures, whether base trap or infrared gas analysis, shows a clear reaction due to composting. So they're definitely raising the active level, the microbially active pool in the soil, and therefore should be delivering more nutrients. One of the things we believe strongly is that a lot more work is needed, particularly on the quality of compost, especially the carbon nitrogen fraction. For example, with immature compost products put on soil, we had some trials this year where we put down heavy rates of compost and saw no nitrogen response to it, but the CN ratio of the compost and the water-soluble fraction of that compost were relatively high. So you've got to account for more than just the respiration rate. You have to make sure you account for the behavior or the chemistry of that soluble fraction. So as acknowledgement here, I'd like to thank the growers on the Atlantic Organics Farm team for all their work collaborating. It was quite a bit of work under a lot of pressure of production. These are farmers that are very serious and are in business, and for them to manage and carefully sample according to a plan is always an inconvenience, and it's been a fascinating process. Thank you, and if there's time for questions, I'd be happy to have some.
Yes, there is. Any questions for Bill?
No, certainly not this year. We haven't done that.
In the previous work, between that 28 days incubation, potentially of a potential mineralized nitrogen and plant update, have you tested that one to see if that's working or?
Yeah, Rick's work is looking at the field crop performance in relation to the test, and they are looking at nitrogen sufficiency in the crops. And basically, they're finding situations where the nitrogen fertilization recommendation appears to be higher than is necessary to obtain the crop, and they're backing it off by the difference that we're showing by the test, and there's no yield decline when they do that. And we're struggling with the same thing. I think all of you have indicated there's kind of a tradition of fertilization that is in place, and it's actually been relatively difficult to convince growers to back it down based on a test like this, and we need more data, such as you're indicating, to convince them that there won't be any yield losses.
That's another question.
Yeah.
What's the cost of the test kit?
The tests are costing about $7 a piece to run a CO2 burst. The reader is $600 to obtain the photometer, and that's your total investment for the protocol. Yes.
How much water do you add?
We added 25 cc's of water to a 40-gram dry soil sample.
Okay.
It's usually adequate for anything except a very high organic matter sample. And that could be easily adjusted.
Any other questions? All right.
Thank you.